First and foremost, on behalf of Father Abbot and our community of monks and nuns, I wish to congratulate Celeste Marie Olson and Sarah Christine Culver, who are graduating today after Mass. Father Abbot will do the ceremony, and he will preach a short sermon then, so I will not say a whole lot about graduating. But I do encourage these two young ladies to remain strong in your faith and to prepare yourselves now, while you are still under your parents' roof, for the battle that you will face when you're out on your own. It's by learning obedience and humility and all of the other virtues that you will gird yourselves for life's battle, and it is a battle. I ask everyone at communion time to let the two graduates come to communion first and by themselves, and then afterwards, when they return to their pew, everyone else come up like normal. I also ask everyone to pray for these two young ladies. They and their parents have done quite a brave thing and a very difficult thing today, and that is homeschooling. Not only for the student who has to look at their own parents as also their teachers, but also as the teachers and their parents who have to put on one role and put off the other and then back and forth. And that is not always easy. It's not easy to teach your own children. So pray for these families and for all families who are homeschooling. And then, and one further note, being as I mentioned homeschooling, there was also the choice of sending your children to public high school, which can also be a good thing, as long as the parents supplement the education at home when they can and how they can. The children need social interactivity. They need to learn how to get along with people other than members of their own family and own little personal cliques. They need to know how to resist all the temptations that are out there. They need to know how to say no to drugs and drink and sex and everything else that's out there. They need to know how to say no to themselves and their own passions and feelings. I also encourage everyone not only to read our bulletins, but to digest them. Too many of us, when you read anything today, but especially spiritual matters and writings, we read simply to see what it says. We read for information. And we read it through once, maybe twice, and that's really good, really nice. He writes well, he speaks well, or it's awesome. But if it's so awesome, why do we not become as awesome as what it's saying? Why do we not put it on ourselves, in ourselves, apply it to ourselves? Instead of simply reading something word for word as words, let us read to understand exactly what is being said, why it's being said, and how it applies to myself, to ourselves, We need to learn to read so as to get to the heart of the matter, the soul of the matter, the essence. Not just the pretty highfalutin words and all the adjectives. Let's discard all the adjectives and the highfalutinness and get to the meat of the bulletins even, and anything spiritual you pick up to read. I also encourage you to pay attention to the notes in the bulletins these next few weeks and months, because we have several different things going on that some of you may need to plan ahead for. For the children of this world, in relation to their own generation, are more prudent than are the children of light. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. The last few weeks, the bulletins and the sermons and various talks, we have been talking about, in one way or another, faith and why we are what we are and why we come to church and why we call ourselves traditional. It's getting worse and worse outside, and we can see the prophecy, if you will, of our Lord appearing to come more and more true when he asked the question, when I return, do you think I will find any faith? My good people, I'm afraid that too many of us take our faith and our religion for granted. We think, I'll never change, I'll never give in. Well, maybe not if you're confronted with an abrupt choice of become, for example, a Muslim or a Catholic. Most of us will say, yeah, I'll become a Catholic, I'll stay a Catholic. But that's not what's happening today. It's very, very subtle. It's sneaking up on us, as you will. The devil is very astute and very adept at using 9% truth, or 99% truth and 1% error, to lead us blindly but subtly into error. We must understand what faith is and what to believe means. If we have something concrete in front of us, this piece of paper, I don't have to believe it exists. It's obvious. It exists. That is not faith. We don't need faith for things that we see exist. But for things such as God and all things spiritual, which we can't feel, we can't see, we can't grasp, that's where faith comes in. But it has to be a strong faith, a determined faith. The same amount of faith, if you will, that you find in so many cases in so many of these pagan religions. For example, the ones who drove their planes into the towers who believed that they would go to heaven by dying in that attempt. Do we have that kind of faith? If it were necessary, for example, and the priest is up on the altar, and a man walks in with a gun, would I be willing to stand between that gun and that priest? Or more subtly, how do I act in public? Do I show my faith? Do I show that I am a traditional Catholic and I don't give a blink about what others think of me, but I love God and I'm going to show people that I love God? Or do we kind of sneak and slip around and see if anybody's looking before we make the sign of the cross in the restaurant? Or when we're confronted, you're a Catholic, you're traditional, you're insane. Do we just kind of shrink up and slip away? Or do we say, yes, I'm a traditional Catholic, and I'm going to remain one. Have a good day. If we are not strong enough to stand up and be what we are in public, we cannot even begin to delude ourselves that we will be strong enough to stand in front of that gun to protect that priest. But how do we grow in our faith? How do we develop our faith? By conquering self. They work together. As long as you believe and think and consider yourself, you cannot have a very strong faith, because when it comes to a question of faith, you will think of yourself first. But if we work on conquering self, we will have strong faith, because we will think of God first, which is the reason we are conquering self. And our faith will stand strong. But how do we conquer self? Very simply, by taking our predominant fault and working on it, even if it takes our entire lifetime of constantly resisting our faults, especially our predominant fault, of stomping it down every time it shows its head. And you don't need me to tell you that it would be easier to move Mount Rushmore into your backyard than it would be, or it is, to conquer your predominant fault. Because we can become very attached to it and become very lazy in regard to it. And besides, moving Mount Rushmore is doing something. It's something that people can see, something people can brag about. But conquering my temper, nobody sees that. Besides, it hurts. Isn't it amazing how we can suffer the countless blisters from moving Mount Rushmore, but we can't handle the least little spiritual blister of swallowing my pride or my temper or my lust? So I encourage everyone, especially our two young graduates today, to develop our faith and our love of God, and to strengthen it, and to prepare ourselves for an even more faithless society, I give my special blessing to everyone, but especially to the two young graduates. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And may this blessing remain upon you all forever. Amen.